Braden Point, 91 points last year, Tampa Bay. What's going on, Jerry? You know, the regular season opener is a week and a half away. Where are you with this?
Well, we're talking, I guess, is the good news. We're a ways apart, right now. But, you know, like I said, I say all the time, you could do a deal in a day if you're so inclined. So, you know, things can move quickly. But we're not that close, frankly.
Wow.
So many contracts have been settled. We're just getting news now that Thomas Chabot has just signed an 8-year contract valuing at about $8 million a year. Does that put more pressure on the team you're dealing with in Tampa Bay? Or is it, you know, we kind of thought that, Jerry, as soon as one fell, the dominoes would go into place. Do you feel that's happening now? Teams getting more serious?
I think so. I think there's pressure on everybody to get a deal done. You know, but it certainly helps as more deals, you know, get wrapped up and there's fewer players on the board. I think it puts pressure on the team for sure and us as well to try and find some middle ground to get things wrapped up.
Jerry, where's this going? You got a wonderful client in Braden Point, 92 points with Tampa Bay, but he's coming out of the entry-level deal. All these kids in the NHL making tons of money after their NHL deal. Where do you see this thing going in terms of, remember the old days, you had to wait till your second or third contract, Jerry, to get the big bucks.
Yeah, it's changed over, around 25 years, I guess, I've been doing this. You know, as we've all seen money move around. Over the last couple of generations. And, now it is, you're right, it's moving to the younger players, which, you know, with the speed of the game and how talented these kids are now, or I shouldn't say kids, but these young guys, you know, it's probably money well spent on that end. But, you know, breaking sort of new ground with this group is a little tricky for everybody.
Is this essentially the new norm here now, Jerry? The whole, like, young guys getting paid now, veteran guys going to get the squeeze. I mean, how is it adjusted from your approach now as a player representative?
Well, you just have to keep in tune with what the market's doing. I think that's the biggest trick in our business, to make sure you're sort of ahead of the wave as much as you can be. So, we sort of play by the rule book as it stands. I mean, the unofficial rule book in terms of, you know, how the market's looking. So, you know, really, we could see this coming here for a while. And, with this group of players, we just happen to be right in the thick of it.
Your client, according to some, Montreal had an interest with an offer sheet. We have heard that talk before. Do you think offer sheets are no longer in play at all simply because everybody's set and ready to go? Or do you think because of, Braden's still out there, Line is still out there, we could see that move made yet again?
Well, I mean, it's possible. I've never really put much weight into offer sheets. I think if they happen, they happen. I don't think it's ever something you plan for. I don't think it's ever something that you count on. I think you always go in, with good faith, trying to, do a deal with the team, because that's generally what the players want. Certainly in this case, that's what Braden wants, we've been sort of ready to go since last July. It's just, I'm a little surprised we're this far apart, this late, but on the other hand, every negotiation is a little bit different and there's different pressures and different circumstances and all sorts of different things. So while this is a little odd for me, after all these years, I mean, I guess if I look back, there's been, lots of different negotiations. So yeah, offer sheets, like I said, I've never really put a lot of stock in them. If they happen, they happen. It's an option, but nothing we're really counting on.
Jerry, the ideal thing is to draft kids and then sign them long-term, the ones that are excelling. But Brock Besser, in a perfect world, would have signed a long-term deal. He didn't. Are you now looking, Jerry, at maybe a bridge deal as well?
Well, we're pretty open. We've been open all, to pretty much any scenario. Again, I think we try not to narrow ourselves too much. Tampa's situation is, unique. They got a really good team. They've got some of their top players signed up long-term. A lot of their guys have done bridge deals. So, a bridge deal is certainly, on the table. There's no question about that. We're just sort of poking around at different options and trying to find some common ground and hopefully move this forward. But, yeah, I nothing wrong with a bridge deal at all, especially with the way this market might go in the next 5 years.
Jerry, we had an NFL agent on about a month ago before the season started, and unfortunately it seems to be the norm over the last few years in the NFL with some of their superstars. They are told to wait. And the agent said, I said, what advice do you give your client? He goes, when we decide we're not going to camp, the first thing I say is you better be really serious and prepared to wait it out a long time. It doesn't really happen in hockey. I mean, I saw it with Nylander because, you know, you've got that deadline. But do you have that kind of conversation with Braden that, hey, we're going to have to stick to our guns here if we really want it? Because it happens in another sport. Are we going to get to the point where we may see it in hockey, considering all the superstars that still aren't signed?
Well, it could. I mean, seeing it now, I guess. I mean, we have time before the season starts. But, I mean, same thing. I mean, I've never had a player miss camp. And certainly, I mean, I guess Josh Morrissey maybe missed a 2 days of camp, I think, last year. But really, you know, that's never our intention. It's never our plan. But on the other hand, you know, before we dig down into negotiation, our players are pretty, they understand pretty clearly, as does Braden, what his value is. So, you know, I think, you know, being firm in what you believe is important. And, if, you know, I guess we're in a situation where we're missing camp, but it wasn't our plan or it wasn't our intention. But certainly, you know, I think getting a deal that's fair for him is important, really important for him and for us.
Jerry Johansson with us here on Sportsnet 650. What now for Braden? What's Braden's next steps here? Is he just kind of on standby, wait and see? I mean, is there a consideration to go to Europe for the short term? Like, what are the next steps here?
Well, I think the other thing we've done, you know, we just try to take the next step. I mean, we don't really have a grand plan. If we could get Braden into Tampa Bay this afternoon, we would do that. So we don't have some, you know, sort of grand scheme to manage this long term. I think we're just taking the next step. So we're talking with Tampa. That's the good news. And hopefully we can get something done. And if not, I guess we'll figure it out then. But I think, you know, like I said, the biggest thing is making sure your client knows where he's at and what he deserves and what he feels comfortable with. And Braden certainly does that. So our job is just to keep working at it until we get it done.
Does that mean, for our listeners, Jerry Johansson, the agent for Braden Point, when you say you're talking, how does it end for our listeners? If you're the guy who called them yesterday at 3 o'clock and said, how about this? This morning you're waiting for them to call you back. Is it a game of tennis, volleying back and forth?
Yeah, exactly. It's a very, very slow tennis game. So you hit the ball, and then hopefully the next day they hit it back to us. That would be quick. So it's a, you know, it's a back and forth. And I think, you know, I think everybody has their sense of what they want. Obviously, in this case, we're apart. So, I mean, I think, you know, as you go back and forth, that process is important. I think it educates everybody. And, you know, and that's how you arrive at a conclusion. So, yeah, basically, you're right. We just go back and forth and just keep doing that until we figure it out.
We always talk whether you're sitting at a watering hole and debating who's the greatest. I mean, we were just talking about, you know, hockey IQ and, you know, Brock Besser and comparables and his style of play and this and that. I mean, it always comes back to comparables. And these days it feels like a lot of people are looking at comparables from a financial standpoint in the hockey landscape. You look at some of the deals that have been signed, whether RFAs or just other extensions that have been made over the last little bit. Do you see comparables out there, you know, in light of some of the deals, even in the last week with Mitch Marner and Brock Besser deals?
Oh, for sure, yeah. I mean, they're all relative to what we're talking about. I think we're flexible in terms of different structures, but certainly, you know, I mean, great players. Marner's a great player. Besser's a great player, obviously, and good for Vancouver to get him signed. And certainly Braden is, you know, I mean, everybody has an opinion, but I think everyone would agree he's right at the top of that list.
Is that Marner contract a good comparable for you guys?
Yeah, it's a really good deal. Yeah, it's a very, very good deal. And, you know, I think that, you know, that's certainly a mark on the board that we work off of. And it doesn't mean that's exactly what we're looking for. It just means that that's a reality in the marketplace. And that's how markets define themselves as players sign. So, you know, part of this process is seeing what else happens. Not that we were ever waiting. Certainly we would have went first if that was an opportunity. But, you know, as deals start to come together, it shapes up the market and gives all of us a little bit something more to work off of.
Hey, Jerry, you know, Braden Point's a third-round pick. He went 14th overall in the Bantam draft that Jake Virtanen went first in. he's been a good player all the way through, but are there times when you look at him and go, wow, I mean, he 91 points this year, 66 the year before, 40. Those are hefty numbers in his entry level for a third round pick.
No, those are ridiculous numbers, yeah. And if you really want to drill down, look at his first year. Like his first year, his penalty killing numbers are off the charts. His performance that year was great for a first-year player, you know, and like a third rounder sort of coming from nowhere in terms of expectation. You know, you sort of give your – if you have a top 10 pick, you're obviously giving him a long look. I don't think you expect third-round picks to come in and make your team necessarily and make an impact. So, you know, even his second year, Braden didn't get a lot of power play time and put up, you know, some really strong numbers. So his two-way play is off the charts. His character's off the charts. And obviously, offensively, you know, pretty much off the charts. I think he's pretty much last year, I think, was a top five goal scorer and a top 10 point guy. I think he was sixth and 12th, something like that. So pretty impressive numbers for a young guy. And, you know, if you know Braden, you're doing one thing. He's just getting better.
Jerry, the ball is in whose court? Were you the last one to call, or were they?
I can't remember. I don't remember. Now. Hey. I have to stop going. I'm on my way to the office. I'll look at my notes.
Yeah,
that's a good answer.
Hey, Jerry, quickly, Lucic from Edmonton, Calgary. You got Milan. Was there ever a time through this whole thing? A lot of rumors out there that Lucic could have ended up in Vancouver. Was there any chance for him to end up here?
Yeah, there was actually. We'd had some conversations, and you know, it was a tricky one just because of the situation, you know, with Edmonton, and there was a lot of moving parts on that. But certainly from Milan's perspective, he would have, you know, played in Vancouver for sure. He's certainly happy to be in Calgary as well. So, but it just, the circumstances just didn't quite work out that way, sort of beyond everybody's control, frankly. So it just turned out that Calgary was the opportunity, and Milan, you know, decided that was a good opportunity for him, and that's what happened. But I think pretty much any player would like to play in his hometown. I think that's, you know, pretty universal, at least among my guys.